Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. You're listening on the American Family Radio Network. It is Thursday, the last day of November, folks. You know what that means. Tomorrow is December 1st, and then it is on to, what's that holiday? Christmas.
Hanukkah.
Yeah, Christmas. in studio, Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Steve, welcome.
Good morning.
And then also from Dallas, Texas, Ray Pritchard, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, tell our listeners your website, what kind of things they can find there.
Well, on the front page of our website today, there's a brand new free Advent ebook devotional. It starts tomorrow, 25 days leading from December 1st up to December 25th. It's daily. It's free. It's brand new. It's called Simple Christmas. And I want to encourage people to, if you've never done a devotional journey leading up to Christmas, it's great for your spiritual life. Get you, people say, are you ready for Christmas? Well, we forget about getting ready in the heart. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com. You'll see the big banner at the top. It says Simple Christmas. Click on that and you can download it for free to your Kindle, to your Nook, or you can get it as a PDF. It's free at keepbelieving.com.
And Ray, thank you for doing those kind of things. Always appreciate that. You do some for the Easter season as well, and always get such great feedback. So, folks, check that out at www.keepbelieving.com. Well, we mentioned that Steve Jordahl was in here with us, as he always is, virtually every day, unless he's sick or something else has come up. He's a reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, what's happening?
Good morning. You know, I heard you guys talking a little bit about the latest allegations of sexual misconduct in Washington and in the media. I know you guys mentioned Garrison Keillor, I think, and you probably talked about the latest stuff involving maybe Franken and that kind of stuff. We've mentioned before that there is a fund that was set up by a law that was passed in 1995, ironically called the Accountability Act, in the wake of Mr. Clinton's, President Clinton's indiscretions. And it set up a fund where people could basically pay off someone who was accusing a person of any number of workplace violations, including sexual assault. And it kind of, there's non-disclosure forms that could be signed, and it really pulled a curtain around a lot of the misconduct and allowed it to be hidden, and taxpayer dollars were going for this. Well, that didn't sit very well with American Family Association. As you probably have heard on this air, our president, Tim Wildman, and our people at AFA Action have put together an action alert. So this is, if you go to the webpage, afaaction.net.
Well, you can go to afa.net.
afa.net.
And there's an action alert tab.
You're right. Go to the.
But it's also one of the lead stories, too, on that up there. Page today.
You can sign the petition. What the petition is asking members of Congress to do is to kind of shine a light in that dark corner of Congress. Who has been accused? Well, basically, I want to know three things. Who, what for, and how much? Who was accused of sexual misconduct, and was it sexual misconduct? I'm not sure. The FAA is not in the. It really doesn't care. Is not interested if someone was accused of an Americans Against Disabilities Act or somebody that was accused of not promoting somebody, the wrong person. All of those workplace things are covered under this fund. But AFA is very concerned, as most Americans are, with people who, members of Congress, who were able to pay off their accusers and make them go away.
Using taxpayer money.
So if you go to afa.net, you can find and sign on to this petition, which will ask that these names answer those three questions: who, what, and how much.
Yeah.
There's also a bill that was introduced. There's, as you can imagine, when something so momentous in culture happens, Congress gets involved. Remember, they got involved in the baseball steroid thing in the day. Well, there's a bunch of bills that are going to be flying around. Yesterday, Congress unanimously approved requirements that members of Congress take some sensitivity training or training in to avoid sexual assault. That's got to be a really short class. Don't assault somebody.
Right.
I don't know. It should, to me, it seems.
You shouldn't need that class. And but, as a member of Congress mentioned, classes don't fix problems.
No, but there is another, there is a bill. It's called the Congressional Accountability and Hush Fund Elimination Act. That's
a great title. The Isn't Hush it? Fund Elimination Act. Good. I'm voting for it just because of the title.
It's from Representative DeSantis. And it prohibits the use of funds to pay public funds to pay for settlement claims. It requires that the Office of Compliance, which is the one that's been paying out these claims, that it makes available to the public on its website what payments were made and how much and for whom. It requires repayment by the perpetrators. The congressperson that put the money, paid the hush money, has to repay it from their campaign funds or their pocket. It prohibits imposition of non-disclosure agreements, so you can't say to the victim of sexual assault, the person that's coming forward and saying that you assaulted them, okay, well, fine, we'll make this go away. And by the way, you can't talk about it to anybody. Right. That's been a huge thing about the secrecy of this whole thing. And then finally, an individual who receives an award or settlement has to make public any information related to the award or the settlement. So
hey, Ray,
that's one good bill.
Ray, let me ask you, who votes against a bill like this? If you're a member of the House or the Senate,
to vote against it,
I mean, how do you vote against it and then come up with a good reason for voting against it?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. The cynical me does this, and this happens to everything. I was talking to Rob Chambers, who looked at this bill too, and he said, as it is now, it has yet to be introduced, but as it stands now, we like this. But what happens is they throw little amendments in. This is how the 1995 bill, which was called the Accountability Act, got to be a Accountability Hiding Act. Mm-hmm. Because someone put a thing in about non-disclosure and created this office. So they'll probably...
But that was... I'm guessing that was when nobody was looking. I mean, now that everyone is paying attention to this, how do you amend it?
Things happen. You know...
You are cynical.
Well, have you ever watched...
He's been in the news business too long.
Yes. I have. Have you ever watched C-SPAN for any length of time?
You want me to lie, or do you want me to just...
I'll tell you that I've sat down and watched the
operations of the House? And
I have, and it takes a good 3 or 4 or 5 hour energies to get me through the thing. Because they introduce a bill, there's all kinds of procedure, there's debate, it goes on for the next day, there's arcane rules that have to happen, and in the middle of this convoluted arcane process, things are put in bills. And perhaps something... This is introduced in the House, it goes to the Senate, they have a little bit different language, and then like is going to happen with the tax bill, we think, it goes to a conference committee. No one covers or is allowed to be in that debate. No one sees what happens in the conference committee, and all of a sudden, a bill with an amendment that if someone's not watching carefully gets put on the president's desk and signed, and all of a sudden, an Accountability Act becomes a let's hide accountability.
And then it becomes a bill where... Nobody is at fault, but everybody's at fault.
I'm just saying.
You can't point to one person and say, you did it.
I'm not saying it's going to happen with this bill or other bills, but it can happen. You just got to watch them. Am I cynical? Man, I feel cynical today.
I'm cynical every day, so that's all right. When it comes to Washington, D.C., I'm very cynical.
There's a lot to be cynical about.
Well, the bottom line, folks, if you're concerned about your tax dollars going to pay this hush money, go to AFA.net. And take a look at our action alert, and then you can sign it if it's something that you feel that meets the need to speak into this issue.
All right. All right, thank you for that story, Steve. All right, we're going to move on to some other really big issues, and to help us navigate through them, we want to welcome back to the program Senator Roger Wicker, Republican from Mississippi. Senator Wicker, welcome back to today's issues.
Glad to be back on a big day.
Yes, it is. Listen, we've got there's so many stories. I don't know, 2-3 years ago, it seemed like it was hard to to maybe 4 years ago. Hard to find news stories now. We can't cover everything. Right. Senator, we have two very important issues we want to try to squeeze in. We know your time is limited. The first, I went to your website. You have released a statement on North Korean provocation. This is very worrying, the situation in North Korea, very worrying to many Americans who have been following this. Why don't you tell us, because you're a senior member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, this is kind of in your wheelhouse, kind of lay out the problem and the difficulties in solving what is going on in North Korea.
Well, the problem is North Korea is dominated now by the third generation of totally irresponsible, unreliable, unpredictable leadership. The people in North Korea pretty much view these leaders as gods, and they're just totally brainwashed. Who would have thought that they could develop this this technology that was demonstrated a few days ago, which basically shows that they are capable of putting an atomic bomb on an intercontinental ballistic missile that could reach any city in the United States, including Tupelo, including Washington, D.C. But they do have that technology. Now, most of the people live in absolute poverty there, but their elite they're well educated and they've developed this capability. So we obviously have to pay attention to it. I do think this. I don't think Kim Jong-un wants to commit suicide. And I do believe he understands that any attack on America or any attack on Americans, any of our interests, would result in a firestorm coming down on him that very day. It would be the last day of his life and the last day of the lives of all the members of that regime. There would be carnage for sure. Around in the area, and we don't want that. We want to try to avoid it. But I do believe he understands that any attack on the United States, though he's now capable of it, would result in his immediate death.
Senator, I'd like to ask you something about China. Obviously, they're the big player in that part of the world. In your judgment, is China doing enough to defuse the problem?
No. And, you know, China sort of... they sort of treat North Korea the way Russia treats Iran. You know, they give lip service to being opposed to the development of a nuclear weapon, but they're not doing everything they possibly could. China could bring the North Korean regime to its knees if they would do an absolute boycott, an absolute end of all trade and relationship. But they want to keep them as sort of a handy foil there. They don't want things to get too out of hand. But in a way, this unstable regime at the north part of that peninsula gives them a little leverage with the rest of us. And I do view China as just as significant an adversary to the United States as North Korea. They very much want to dominate the Pacific, and that's why we need to implement My Ships Act to provide for a 355 ship Navy, so that the Pacific is a place where American interests can keep the sea lanes open.
Senator Steve Jordahl here with American Family News. We're hearing pretty substantial or substantive rumors that the president may be planning to replace Secretary of State Tillerson in the middle of this whole thing with North Korea. It makes me a little nervous to think about changing that important of a position. What do you have a thought about that?
Well, if the secretary would like to step down after a tough year, I don't want to keep him if he doesn't feel like he's got the juice to continue this. It's a very tough job, and you're in the air all the time. You're on the road all the time. So, you know, whatever they decide to do, I support it. I read the news article. You know, Pompeo is the CIA director. He's being rumored as someone who would move into that position. He is strong as horseradish. He's a graduate of the United States Military Academy, number one graduate, if I'm not mistaken, and would be a very hawkish and no-nonsense Secretary of State. If that's the way the president wanted to go, I would support that. But I really only know the news articles, and I've just seen them in the last few hours.
Senator Wicker, this is Walker here. One topic, and I think you were alluding to this when we brought you on the show, is tax reform. I know news broke within the last hour that Senator McCain has committed to at least voting for the current bill in its current form. How's that looking? I know a lot of things are going on today. I've read some stories. Y'all might be voting either tonight or tomorrow on this. What's the word on that?
Right. Well, the so-called Votorama, where all of the amendments of any kind are allowed, and they can offer as many as they want to on into the night and into tomorrow, that begins I guess maybe around dark tonight, and so we'll be voting until our colleagues across the aisle get tired of offering amendments. But you know, I've been in this position before and had the rug pulled out from under me, but this does feel like victory today. And Senator McCain's affirmative vote will help. I think we've I think there have been enough assurances given to those two or three senators who were worried about the small business aspect of this, the so-called pass-through corporations. And it seems that we're making some progress evening out their treatment as compared to the larger C corporations. And this all gets very, very technical. But it seems like we've made some changes, and we've got the votes. We need 50, and we'll welcome Mike Pence into the chair again, as he's had to do several times, and break the tie. And let me tell you, I mean, there's a reason why the stock market has been going up 100 points a day for almost every day this week, is because the economy is anticipating that we are going to do this great thing for job creation and for wages and take-home pay for Americans. They feel that we are about to do it, and it's incumbent on us to do it. We have gotten very old-fashioned in the way we tax job creators as compared to our competitors in Asia and Europe. And we need to enter the 21st century, and this is a pivotal day when we can join the House of Representatives and actually put our money where our mouth is and get something close to passage. I'll have to go back to conference, but I know the president is thrilled at the progress we're about to make, and I think we see a conference report signed before the middle of December.
Senator Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, has been our guest. Senator, thank you so much. I know your time is limited and valuable. We appreciate you spending some of it with us here on Today's Issues.
Well, thank you for having me, and just give me a call, and I'll be happy to chat with you again. Hope we have good news during the wee hours of the morning on passage.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
All right, and he is right. The Dow Jones has hit a new record. It's going bananas. Yeah. 24,000. Everything I've read, and we've, you know, like Tim and I have confessed many times, I'm not an economist. That's Dan Celia's bailiwick. But the things that I've read indicate that the economy and many in the in our economy are looking forward to some sort of a deal. So anyway, we hope that they put together a good tax package and tax reform if it does get passed, and we'll wait to see what that looks like. So, all right, Steve, we've got several minutes left. Well, get something good for us?
Sure. If there's anything, any body or organization that's a little more confusing and confused than Congress, it might be the NFL.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The NFL, which seemed to be late to the switch on the kneeling for the national anthem issue, has decided that they're going to put up some money, and not a little bit, $10 million.
$100 million.
Sorry. I'm off by a factor of 10. $100 million to social justice aims. It's going to give a quarter of it to the United Negro College Fund. It's going to give a quarter of it to the Dream Corps. And it's going to give 50% of it to a Players Coalition, which has formed a nonprofit group to try to distribute these things for social justice. Social justice is a buzzword that creates a lot of concern in the minds of many conservatives. So your ticket prices are going to reflect some payouts to some social justice causes in the near future.
Well, Ray, what do you think of that? You on board?
Well, isn't this just a payoff, right?
It is a payoff. That's right.
They're paying them $100 million. To make this problem go away.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this till our story meeting this morning, Steve. Is this meant to bribe the players to stop kneeling?
It is.
No one's gonna come out and announce that,
right? They want this issue of kneeling behind them. It's been terrible.
I'll bet some of the players don't want – they're on the spot too.
The players will come out as a team, and no matter what happens in front – again, all these discussions happen behind closed doors. But I tell you, there's something about a team chemistry. When you get to the highest level of any sport, there's intangibles. Everybody can run fast. Everybody can hit hard. Everybody can catch and throw. The issue that then becomes, can they really think – together as a unit, 11 people on the field, thinking the same thing at the same time upon seeing new information, a new defense, for example. And that takes teamwork, and that you can't be really having disgruntled locker rooms. So,
well, here's where I think the NFL has messed up here. Okay, now I've said all along they should have, like Barney Fife, they should have nipped this in the bud when Colin Kaepernick started that 2 years ago, okay? But yeah. Now they've let this thing go, and they almost – are squeezed into a, painted themselves into a corner. Here's where I think they've made a mistake. First of all, I have no problem with them giving money to help blacks go to college. That's not a bad move. Most of the majority of the players in the NFL are black. So that's I'm okay with that. The 50% thing is what I have a problem with, because here's the problem the NFL is going to create with this. This nonprofit, this group now that is going to be funded by $50 million, the NFL is going to own it. So whatever they say,
well,
it is
players.
Funded.
It's
yes.
another players' union, basically.
Yes, right. But the NFL's funding it. So the NFL is not going to be able to say, you know, we have a disclaimer on this program. You know, the opinions expressed don't necessarily, okay, so what is the NFL going to do? They're going to say the opinions expressed by the player, this new player's, social justice organization, not necessarily those of the NFL, even though we paid for it.
They are going to line up 100% behind whatever the
players
do.
That's right. The last thing to this is all you have to do is take – if you want to bully a company into $100 million, all you got to do is take a knee and damage their sales.
There you go.
And this is the buyout.
This is making the problem worse for the NFL.
We're going to be talking about a removing the silence bill in the Senate for the NFL pretty soon.
This is craziness, but – they could just hire us. We'd fix it for them.
There you go.
You know?
That's right.
There you go.
We'd make everybody happy. All right, Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Ed.
KeepBelieving.com, folks. Go for the Christmas. What did you call it, Ray?
The ebook, the Advent ebook. It's at KeepBelieving.com called Simple Christmas.
All right, folks. More great programming straight ahead. Stay with us.